Right, okay. Given the fact that there was natural silence, I think we're going to make a start. So very much welcome, everyone. We started a new sermon series that Vince really powerfully kicked us off last week, and it's called Connect with Culture. And Mike gave Vince a blurb that I have nicked. So if you weren't here last week, and I think sometimes it's just good to just remind ourselves and to reflect what we actually hope to achieve. You know, the inner teacher in me wants to go back to the days of lesson objectives, you know, just this, you know, our lesson objective for today, everyone. But the kind of blurb is this. So every day we encounter life and interact with the world around us. This happens sometimes on surface levels, a skim over the news of Leeds being relegated, or a snatch of a TV programme or a song. At other times, we interact with the world more deeply, thoughtfully, intentionally, seizing on something which grabs our attention or provokes our joy, or challenges us to act, or makes us angry. Where is our faith in all of these diverse encounters with life and culture? In this Connect with Culture series, we aim to dialogue with, critique, affirm, and sit with the beauty and brokenness of the world using books, films, news, stories, art, music, podcasts, or whatever. Through the lens of faith, we will reflect on how these encounters can help us to live in a more faithfully and authentically in the world, loving God and our neighbour. I think that probably over-eggs what I'm going to do this morning, but, you know, that's what we hope to achieve. But this series will be eclectic as those speaking find the work of God in the world around us. And last week we heard about restorative justice, inspired by a podcast that Vince listened to. And today I'll be reflecting I'll be sharing some reflections of how I found God in a Reese Witherspoon film. But before we watch the trailer and I give a little bit of a synopsis of what the film is about, why don't we pray? Let's pray. God of the journey, would you create in us a pilgrim heart to tread lightly on the thin spaces of this earth? Allow us to see you in all things. God, who is waymaker, would you make a way on the paths we fear to tread? Allow us to face the fears we hold. God of the exile, would you form in us purpose from the fringes? Allow us to become. God who journeys alongside us, step by step, would your comfort continue to light our path? Amen. So the Reese Witherspoon film that I'll be talking about this morning and reflecting from is actually my favourite film. So if this ever comes up in a Watch This, James's favourite film, it is the film Wild. So hopefully, technology allowing, we'll actually watch the trailer. Just to say, if you ever think about watching this film, just with a parental guidance warning, there is a lot of nudity and swearing in it, but it's deep. We won't be talking about that. But it's for all the other things that I'll talk about this morning. But we'll just watch the trailer.
If your nerve deny you, go above your nerve. Emily Dickinson and Cheryl Strayed. Oh my God. What have I done?
I'm sorry you have to walk 1,000 miles just to...
Finish that sentence. Why do I have to walk 1,000 miles?
Happy trails, Cheryl. Turn away.
You get lonely.
I'm lonelier in my real life than I am out here.
Must have been some breakup, huh?
Breakup is sort of a shorthand.
How much do I love you?
I miss you. God, I miss you.
My mother was the love of my life.
Come back!
You're using heroin, and you're having sex with anyone who asks.
Only once every 2 minutes or so.
Well, I've quit a bunch of stuff. Quit jobs, quit marriages.
You regret any of them?
I didn't have a choice. There's never been a time when there was a fork in my road.
are some questions I've been asking myself. What if I forgive myself? What if I was sorry? But if I could go back in time, I wouldn't do a single thing differently. What if all those things I did were the things that got me here? Turn away.
Right, well, there we go. That ends right now. So, the film, lots of reasons why it's my favourite film. The soundtrack, I love a bit of folky pop. But it's based on a true story from a woman that we saw in the film called Cheryl... Well, we didn't see her, we saw Reese Witherspoon. But the woman in the film, Cheryl Strayed. And Cheryl decides to walk 1,100 miles, part of the 2,663-mile Pacific Crest Trail, from just outside Los Angeles to the Oregon-Washington state border, a place called the Bridge of the Gods. Now, this is where I learned not to trust Google Maps, because I did decide in my writing of the talk to like, be like, oh, I wonder what Google Maps says. Google Maps says it takes 12 days to hike, which actually means you're looking about 91 miles a day. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really fancy that. But why did Cheryl do this? Why did she decide to kind of walk that journey? And she walked it alone as well. Well, as we watch the film, we discover that after the death of her mother, and we saw it in the trailer, the death of her mother to cancer, as a response to her grief, Cheryl ended up having numerous affairs and found ourselves in a pattern of drug and alcohol abuse, which led to the breakdown of her marriage and a termination of her pregnancy. And she reached a turning point at which she decided to hike the trail. She decided to hike, as it says in the film, to walk back to the woman who her mother made her to be. And there's a blog called Thinking Faith by someone called John Quinn, and he writes some reflections on the film that I think summarise the film better than I can. And in his review, he writes this. It's a little bit of a long quotation, but this was a section I quite enjoyed. "This is also as Ignatian a meditation as you're likely to get from a mainstream film. The flawed Cheryl has many demons to wrestle with as she sets out into the wilderness. This is not just an escape from her wretched life, littered as it was with mess and mistakes, but an attempt to restore herself to the person she used to be. As she falters along the way, she considers carefully and honestly the choices in her life that led her up to this point, drugs, infidelity, and self-pity. This is the moment of looking in the mirror, facing up to the carnage, owning it, and deciding to try again. Wild details the torments and guilt of someone who knows deep down that they were created to be something more than they currently are. Cheryl is mourning not only the loss of a true and complete love, but the loss of a person she was when she was so loved. She is fragile, shattered from the loss, but determined to find her way out of the emptiness and back to her former self. The journey metaphor is powerful and well judged within the film. The prodigal daughter returns, ankles swollen from the walk, bruises covering her body, having surrendered to the truth about herself that she has discovered through the painful but honest examine that she has undertaken. Wild is a beautiful, mature film of brutal anguish and soaring hope in equal measure. The loneliness of life devoid of trust in God is etched across Cheryl's past, but she opens herself to grace through the recognition of the peace that is to be found through the examining one's own life choices." And there's something in that and in the film that speaks so deeply here about a Christian tradition of pilgrimage. And we'll spend some time thinking this morning about that theme, about that concept, and through both the film and through scripture. But before we start, and given the fact that it's a bank, you know, relaxed bank holiday and I'm feeling pretty chill, I was just wondering if you could think about some two questions on your tables or in small groups. Have you ever been on a pilgrimage? Is that something you've ever done? And is it possible to have an experience of pilgrimage in our everyday? So have you ever been on a pilgrimage? That might be a quick one if no one has. But is it possible to have an experience of pilgrimage in our everyday? So have a little conversation and I'll get some feedback, probably about 5 minutes. Okay. If we begin to land on conversations. Will's got a roaming mic, if you want to feedback, maybe if you put your hand up and we'll kind of come around. But what were people talking about on their tables? Anything that anyone wants to kind of share back into the space? even if it's just a question or something like that. What do people want to share back? Any kind of experiences, stories, anything? Oh, yes. Yes, I have. So this year I'm trying. I said for my 31st birthday, I'll try and do 31 days of pilgrimage. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. It's quite a lot of days to try and fit in. But it's made me do more. So I'm doing some littered throughout the year. So I've got one coming up in a couple of weeks. But yeah.
So we listened to Charlie's experience of pilgrimage to Lourdes. Oh, nice. He talked really about the mysticism, really, of that place, and and particularly about the sort of the waters there and his experience through that. So that was really interesting to hear. And also in Ireland as well, in Dingle Bay. And sort of also where. The tradition of going into the church being passing certain shrines on the way to church. It's like a road to the church, which is almost like, you know, each shrine is symbolic of something. So sort of quite a sort of, evocative image of some sort of symbolism around pilgrimage as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anything else people want to throw into the space?
I love talking. So I was saying that I had, I can't remember the author's name, but I'd been reading a book called The Power of Ritual, which is sort of about, the premise of the book is reclaiming ancient religious ritual, like sacred reading and pilgrimage, into sort of modern secular life. So the focus isn't specifically religious, but the author's talking about essentially mini pilgrimages, like picking a location which could be a church or a sacred site or a tree that you really enjoy or a work of art that you really enjoy, and then without like using your headphones, putting your headphones on, just listening to music without using public transport, just walking to the site, reflecting on what that place means to you, and then getting there and performing some ritual to kind of commemorate you being there. So the author talks about like going to a church and walking around the building three times and kind of looking at the building and on each path kind of seeing new sides of it, understanding it in a new and different way. So I've done things like that with churches in London, which I always find them really interesting. It's like it's dedicating a day to your faith, which isn't just being in church. It's dedicating a day to your faith in a different way.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Did anyone get on to that second question about is it possible to experience have an experience of pilgrimage in the everyday? Has anyone got any thoughts on that? To which the answer might be no.
It appears I've been nominated. we had it was probably more of a philosophical debate, I think, around that second question. And we were talking about whether it's possible because of the way life is right now and like the immense distractions to incorporate that in your everyday. And then we were talking about how you could view, like sometimes people all go through like seasons of life or periods of time where kind of like life is just, you feel like life is maybe happening to you rather than perhaps trying to live in an intentional and purposeful way or in pursuit of something. And we were talking about like the concept of pilgrimage and like coming home to yourself a bit like in the trailer, and that perhaps one way you can like bring pilgrimage into your daily life is like by trying to come home to yourself every day by being like aligned with what it is you're trying to do in walking through life.
Yeah,
if that's helpful.
Yeah, no, thank you, that's great. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so the British Pilgrimage Trust probably would define pilgrimage as a journey with a purpose. And I quite like that because I think that kind of draws out on some of the themes that we were kind of talking about. But I think there's something about knowing the why of our walking that that is key. The fact that it isn't aimless. It's not just about getting from A to B. And I think that's probably, especially Rachel, what you were talking about there in terms of actually there's something a bit more purposeful it isn't just about the kind of, and I don't know about you, I walk through my day sometimes and I'm like, how did I get to, like, work? Like, I've just got here almost in sort of like a kind of mind walk. Well, actually, I actually work in the bedroom next door, so how did I get here? But I think, you know, even where if we're going from A to B, sometimes when I walk to church or to the Beehive Cafe, I'm like, I've just not been mindful as I'm walking, I've just got here. So I think there's something about pilgrimage which isn't about that, getting to A to B. And there should be an intention as we journey, maybe a question, a decision, a wrestling. And for Cheryl in the film, it was a question of becoming, of identity, of reforming. And you may know, or you might not know, I don't really do New Year's resolutions, just because I probably give up on them in the first week. And if you know me as well, I probably buy all the things to do the New Year's resolution and then give it up a week later. So, yeah. But however, I do New Year's themes. And so something that I want to explore with God through that year. And funnily enough, my theme for this year is pilgrimage. Shock. And on my reflecting, I think I would probably say that actually there are two forms of pilgrimage for me. There's the big P pilgrimage, the act of treading a sacred path, a set route, like the Camino de Santiago or on the way to Lourdes. But I also think there's a small P pilgrimage, those journeys that we take every day. That actually, I think, and as Rachel was talking about, that kind of would probably be what I define as a small P pilgrimage. We're still maybe in the space that we're normally in. We haven't gone somewhere else, but there's maybe that intention to our walking, that more mindful journey. And I think there's something in that that speaks of the wider journey that we are on with God throughout the whole of our lives. We journey towards ultimately being reunited with God at the end of our lives. And that in itself could be seen as a metaphor for pilgrimage. And so, you know, as I talk this morning, I normally talk about pilgrimage in both senses. I kind of use small P and big P pilgrimages interchangeably. But there's also an area of the journey that Cheryl takes in the film that's different for us as we follow Jesus. And that is the fact that pilgrimage is not just a journey towards ourselves. It is a journey towards God. And it's a story, and a story that in scripture that I think really, for me, encapsulates this and emanates this, is the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And just to give a break from my voice, I've teed up Bethany just to read us. And you can find it in Luke 24, 13 to 35, which is on page
1061,
if you want to follow along. So Bethany, just enlighten us.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Great, thank you very much, Bethany. And I love that that passage of scripture for quite a few reasons. I love when they're kind of walking. It's like, oh, do you not know the thing? You know, and he's like, what's happened in Jerusalem? He's like, what things? And it's like, me? No. You know, I just have that image of Jesus. That's just I just think that's quite interesting. But however, you know, these disciples, they start out on a journey. They're marred by the grief of the loss of Jesus. And you hear that within that story, you know, that we hoped that he would redeem Israel. You know, this we pinned our hopes on this Jesus, you know, and he's died. And that kind of that grief, they'd set off from Jerusalem, chatting and processing their grief, their hopes, their fears. And in the midst of that journey, they find Jesus. And I think that's what makes pilgrimage, both big P and small P, for me, distinctive, that Jesus is interwoven in the midst of our questions, our sorrow, our pain. And I loved that quotation from Tricia this morning that I think kind of touched on that as well, that she read out. And also there is both the known and the unknown Jesus on the road with them. Even when they are talking, discussing and processing their questions, Jesus is in the midst of those, even if they didn't acknowledge him. And there is something for me as I watch the film Wild, I can see the story of God woven throughout the film, even if it isn't categorically acknowledged. And for some of us, we've grown up in our faith with that pressure that we have to have a boundary set time with God, and that being the kind of litmus test of our faith. You know, yes, I've had my quiet time this morning. However, I don't know about you, but when I would do those things well, I'd then neglect to see God in the rest of my day. I'd almost tick-boxed God to the kind of quite like half an hour that I spent with God in the morning. But Jesus walks with them regardless. And Jesus in the story becomes known after the invitation to come and eat. It's after the point of eating with Jesus that they have a fresh revelation, a realization. Did our hearts not burn within us? That from the invitation comes a fresh revelation and an understanding, a reframing of what has come before. And I think there's something in acknowledging the presence of God in the mundanity of our everyday, in the writing, in the journeying to work, in the winding down at the end of our day, that as we journey with God through life, we acknowledge and invite God into those spaces with the idea that we too will have a fresh revelation in the midst of the everyday. And can we learn something about ourselves as we set off on a pilgrimage? Very much so. However, I think we would be missing out on the fullness of perspective if we do not invite Jesus to walk with us. And this is where I think that pilgrimage is very different to the idea of self-care. Now, I feel like as a millennial, I'm in the age of self-care. We talk about it a lot more. We practice it a lot. And I think that self-care is important. Creating the spaces of rest and renewal for our bodies, our minds, our emotions and our spirits are very much important. However, I think there is a vulnerability here that we can use it as sometimes an excuse for not facing up to the things that may bring us challenge or may be painful. And I'm not saying that every opportunity, taking time to rest and do something that gives us energy, is that at all. We lived in a nuanced and grey world, which everything has its strengths and vulnerabilities as we navigate those. Though I do notice it in my own life. To be honest, I would be lying if I said that writing preachers was my favourite pastime. And on the lead up to today, I had many opportunities to sit down and begin writing. Instead, I opted for a bit of self-care, which was spending hours, and Bethany's going to roll her eyes, hours playing on the PlayStation, on my new PlayStation games. I enjoy the kind of the thinking about what to say, but I hate the discipline of sitting down to write and to talk. And Phil may know this from his writing of his PhD. Sitting down to write and talk, and I would opt out for something I would find more enjoyable. On a more extreme level, I have felt when I maybe felt like I've lost grip on my life a little bit, things feel a little bit out of sorts. Maybe there is a pull within me to run rather than to face the hardness and the grit of a situation. And in my sense to run, I often on an extreme level talk to Bethany about the fact that I feel the pull of leaving everything and moving to Canada. I don't know why Canada, I've never been. I hear it's nice. There's just something about Canada that just seems to kind of have a bit of a pull for me. But do I really realistically want to do that? No. But there are times where that pull within me, doesn't want to face up to the situation. And sometimes in my sense to run, I also sometimes pull away from places that may also give me life. As we see within the film Wild, Cheryl isn't running, but embarks on a journey to face the reality of how things are, to come toe to toe with decisions, choices, and the complexities of her own life, to create space to feel the pain of grief. The disciples on the road to Emmaus are journeying. They're admitting to and processing their own questions as well. And as they do so, they invite Jesus into that space. And so a question for us is whether or not we create spaces in our own lives, on our own pilgrimages, to go toe-to-toe with our choices, our questions, our doubts, whatever they may be. Brandon Robertson, in his book A Nomad, talks about holiness as a journey of becoming. Do we create the space to allow God to reflect back to us our best self and commit to journeying towards that, to being and becoming more of the person that God has created us to be? Acknowledging that to do so means that we have to engage with our worst selves and maybe the bits that we don't like about us. And for me, the idea of pilgrimage is to give God the space to do just that. And a good litmus test for this, when we may feel the urge to retreat, is to ask ourselves the cheesy question, are we running or are we becoming? Tweet that. The answer to that question will present with us a choice. And over the film, the character Cheryl is presented with quite literally forks in the road. Does she continue on even when it's hard, or does she get off and go home? Now there's the same question for us. When hardship or trials come, will we embark on the road to Emmaus or stay in the place where we are? Will we choose to continue on? Will we create a space to become even when we're in the midst of hurt? And sometimes we become paralyzed by the right choice. We put ourselves that pressure on us when we're faced with the choice to make the right choice. And I have friends that use that phrase a lot. You know, what is the right choice here? You know, thinking about whether or not they pivot in their lives to apply for that job or to go back and study on that course they've always wanted to do, or to hike the Pacific Crest Trail. And in those moments, we can become stuck at the crossroads. And I tend to think, I think I've kind of moved away from that thinking, and I tend to think of the principles of God rather than the plan of God. If I give God the space to reflect the best version of myself back to me, does the choice I make help me to walk in step with becoming that? Is the choice I make in principle in line with the principles and values that I see Jesus uphold? If the answer to that question is no, then maybe I might not be making the right choice. And one of my favourite phrases in the film comes from Cheryl as she's processing some of the things her mum said used to tell her. She says, my mother used to say to me something that drove me nuts. There is a sunrise and a sunset every day, and you can choose to be there for it. You can put yourself in the way of beauty. We can choose to put ourselves in the way of beauty. And if you were here last week, one of the things I encouraged us to do was to take a picture that represented something of God to us at the time of taking that photo. Now, I think it's a great conversation starter, and it might help us to get a little bit beneath the surface level conversation. However, in the act of being more mindful, we may look out and see something that we haven't seen before. We can choose to see the work of God in the world around us. And we can do that every day. And this is something I think that drawing on what Rachel was reflecting on, we can do that every day, but sometimes we have to make a conscious choice to create space for it. And the act of pilgrimage, both big P pilgrimage and small P pilgrimage, helps us to create a space to be in a place that is different from ourselves in our everyday surroundings that may result in us hearing and seeing God more fully. The film finishes with a quotation, and it says this, and it just, I love the last line of this quotation, but it says this: it took me years to become the woman my mother raised. It took me 4 years, 7 months, and 3 days to do it without her. After I lost myself in the wilderness of my grief, I found my way out of the woods, and I didn't even know where I was going until I got there on the last day of my hike. Thank you, I thought over and over again, for everything the trail had taught me and everything I couldn't yet know. Now in 4 years I'd cross this very bridge. I'll marry a man in the spot visible from where I was standing. Now in 9 years that man and I would have a son named Carver, and years later a daughter named after my mother, Bobby. I knew I didn't need to eat with my bare hands anymore. That seeing the fish beneath the surface of the water would be enough. That it was everything. My life, like all lives, mysterious, irrevocable, sacred, so very close, so very present, so very belonging to me. How wild it was to let it be. Now, I think that can kind of semi-romanticise the ending. And I think that kind of Hollywood can sometimes romanticise those kind of experiences. You know, just go on a hike and you'll figure out your life and everything will be great. Then if we create the big pilgrimage in our lives, it'll be that magic wand that will kind of cover over all of our problems. And interestingly, I read an article that talked about the events following the film, that Cheryl did get her life into some level of perspective and order than what she had before. But actually she was, she'd written a book of her experiences of the journey wild that then was obviously then made into a film. But before she kind of, it got picked up by Oprah, which is where the turning point was. Her and her husband were living paycheck to paycheck. They didn't know how to make ends meet. There was this also another level of kind of crisis and challenge in her life. And I think this is where the power of choice really kicks in, when we get those sense of continual forks at the road, when we have to continually choose to choose the God-reflected version of ourselves and continue to choose to walk in that direction, that there isn't necessarily a kind of magic wand moment, that we may have moments where we continually make those choices. And so, as I gave a challenge last week, I also give a fresh challenge to us today. You know, that will we create space for pilgrimage, both big P and small P, in our lives, to allow God to reflect back to us our best selves, to journey with God in becoming that, and choosing to place ourselves in a space where we can see the work of God in our world more fully. Let us pray. God of the journey, will you create in us a pilgrim heart to tread lightly on the thin spaces of this earth and to allow us to see you in all things? God, who is waymaker, would you make a way on the paths we fear to tread? Allow us to face the fears we hold. God of the exile, would you form in us purpose from the fringes? Allow us to become. God, who journeys alongside us, step by step, would your comfort continue to lighten our path?